I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, sitting, walking, or sinking. Matthew 14, begin reading in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." The disciples have been through a very rough time. They've been very busy as they've walked and traveled with Jesus Christ, ministering to other people and taking care of needs there. And it says in Mark, it says they didn't even have time to eat. And in the midst of all this, news has come to them that John the Baptist has been executed. So in addition to their exhaustion and weariness that they're experiencing, now they're grieving the loss of this friend of theirs. They need a break. And in the midst of this, the Lord asks them to do more. Because just prior to this departure on the ship, the masses are around there, and the Lord says, "Hey, give them something to eat." And he said, "Well, what? We don't have anything to feed them with." And they took and multiplied the food and gave over probably 20,000 people. It's 5,000 men plus women and children that they fed. So in all that they've experienced, saying, God still asks more of them. But now it's even time. Probably somewhere around 6 o'clock, between 3 and 6 p.m. And the Lord says, "Guys, I want to send you on a cruise across the Sea of Galilee. Get in the ship, take off, relax a little bit." He says, "I'll take care, I'll disperse the crowd." Gets them off on the ship, gets the people dispersed, and looks out, kind of checks on the progress that the disciples are making as they go across the Sea of Galilee. And he decides to take a time for a season of prayer. And he heads up into the mountain alone. And he prays all night long. Because it's the fourth watch of the night when he goes to out on the sea to meet with the disciples. That's between 3 and 6 a.m., the fourth watch of the night. So that means that they have been on that ship for probably somewhere between 9 to 12 hours while the Lord was up in the mountain to pray. Meanwhile, a storm arises. Things get pretty rough. If they weren't bad enough already, it's really bad now as they're toiling and rowing and trying to get across there. And finally, the Lord ventures out to them. But as he comes, his appearance frightens them because they don't recognize him right away. Some kind of an apparition has appeared and they're afraid. And then, of course, Peter makes that well-known request to come and walk on the water with the Lord. There's three things that I want to call attention to about this. Three responses that are found in this particular incident that took place here. The first is sitting in self-effort and unbelief. As we mentioned, the disciples have been fighting the wind and the waves all night long, struggling and trying to get across what was supposed to be probably a pleasant, calm journey, or at least probably anticipated that, has gone by the wayside, and now they're struggling to get across the Sea of Galilee. They're weary. They're grieving. Now they're frustrated because they're not getting anywhere. They haven't been able to make any progress, and then frightened by this appearance. And it's interesting, is it seems to be that the Lord is about to pass them by. He's let them suffer out there all night long. And then as he goes, he's about ready to go by them till they call out to him. You think, boy, that's kind of lacking in compassion, isn't it? But I think the Lord had a reason for that. I think the Lord was expecting them to ask. He wasn't going to do anything until they asked him. The Lord does that a lot in our lives. He waits for us to ask. James chapter 4 says, we have not because we ask not. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. See, in each of these cases, the responsibility rests with us to initiate before the Lord responds. He says, verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. But the burden of responsibility rests first with us to respond. And as you think about it, these guys are commercial fishermen. Their life is on this sea. That's how they've made their living. They're familiar with the storms that arise on this sea. They're not unaccustomed to struggling to get to shore when one of these quick storms comes passing through there. But in all of this, it's all about how are we going to do it? And the Lord doesn't want we to do it. The Lord wants us to ask him for his help. I believe that's what he's waiting for. Not till they confess their need and ask for his help does he begin to respond. The need is to surrender, to come to end of yourself. And that's true in every part of our lives. It starts with salvation. You don't get saved just because your parents are saved. You don't get saved just because you come to church. You've got to ask the Lord to save you, to take away your sins, to apply his blood to your sins as payment for your sins. That starts with you. The offer's there. It's available, but you got to ask. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You got to ask. The payment's been made for sin. Jesus Christ has done all that needs to be done for you to be saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You got to ask. It doesn't become yours. Salvation is not yours until you ask for it. And throughout the rest of our lives, that's how God works. You need something? Then go to your Father. Ask him. You have not because you ask not. James chapter 4. You got a call. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. Probably one of the, before I got saved, a coworker handed me a Bible one Wednesday night after work. He says, I can't answer all your questions here. Read this. And he stuck a Bible in my hand. As an unsaved Roman Catholic, 23 years old, I had never held a Bible in my hands to that point. This thing was a foreign book to me. I knew nothing about it. But I just opened it and started reading. And this passage is one of the first verses, one of the first passages I read, or at least the first one I remember that I read that night. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And at that point in my life, at that time, that verse, that passage had special significance. Because in a lot of ways, I was just like those disciples. I was weary. I was heavy laden. I'd had a difficult time at work for the first 3 days that week, and I was tired. And God just came off the pages of that book and spoke to my heart through this passage. He invites us to come. But you got to respond. You got to ask. Give up the self-effort. Give up the unbelief. Get out of the ship and do something for God. Stop waiting. Secondly, I want you to see this. Walking by faith. The Lord comes by there, walking on the water across there, and Peter says, bid thee come to me. That's quite a request when you think about it. Peter's never walked on the water before. Peter's never seen anybody walk on water before. To our knowledge, nobody had ever walked on water before. And yet, for some reason, he says, Lord, see, he asked, bid me come unto thee. Now, you can imagine what the response was to his friends in the ship. Yeah, I got to see this. Hey, Nathaniel, get a video so we can post this on Facebook. And the ridicule and the criticism. But Peter said, Lord, bid me come. You know, it's easy to criticize Peter for sinking, but he got out of the ship, which is more than the others did. You know what? That's more than what a lot of others do. These young people back here, they're getting out of the ship. They're going to do something for God this summer. They not only changed their own lives, but to change the lives of many young people across this county by faith. Any of you scared? Huh? Yeah. Good. Because that means you got to trust God. You see, you can't rely upon yourself to do it. Look, I've been preaching for, I think, 38 years now. I was 23 when I got saved. Went to Bible school. I hated being in front of people. That's the last thing that I wanted. But God says, trust me. And over these 38 years, I don't have time to go into all the things that God has done. Yeah, I've gotten in his way a lot. I've tried to do it in my own strength a lot. But then I sit back in amazement when I finally get out of God's way and let him work, to see what he accomplishes, to see what he can do when we just allow him to work through us instead of trying to do it ourselves. You know, if you try to do something for God, there's going to be critics. And it's the ones sitting in the ship that do the criticizing. And if you try to do something for God, you're probably going to fail along the way. Proverbs 24:16 says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. get up and keep going. Look at verse 29 again of chapter 14 of Matthew. I'll start verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He's doing it. He's walking. He's doing something nobody has ever done before. Because he's willing to ask. And then he's willing to step out of the ship. Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O man, that faith without works is dead? Faith requires action. I define, and this is my own made-up definition, but I think it's accurate. Faith is believing God and acting upon it. That's what James is saying. It's one thing to believe, but are you putting your faith into action? The biggest difference between a lot of Christians is that right there. They're unwilling to put faith into action. There's all kinds of reasons. There's all kinds of fears. There's all kinds of concerns. There's all kinds of questions and problems that aren't answered. But sometimes you just got to say, God, I trust you. It doesn't make sense. I can't figure it out. I don't know what the end is going to be, but I believe you want me to do this. I'm going to step out of the ship. I'm going to go. You'll be amazed what you see, what God will do if you'll just get out of the ship. Just step out in faith. Stop depending upon yourself. Stop trying to figure it out. Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Too many of us are stuck with that idea of leaning on our own understanding. I got to figure it out somehow. I got to know how this is going to work out. No, you don't. Just trust God for a change. Do something by faith in your life. Get out of the ship. The last thing is this: sinking. Peter, you know, he asks, bid me come unto thee if it's you, Lord. The Lord says, come on. And he gets out and he starts walking. And things are going great. He says, wow, look at this. And then all of a sudden, instead of continuing to look at Jesus Christ, he starts feeling the wind blowing against him. And he starts feeling the splash of the waves that are crashing against the ship and up and down. And whoa, man, this is scary. And as soon as he takes his eyes off Jesus Christ, he begins to sink. As soon as he got distracted from his Savior, the one who had bid him to come, he began to sink. We got to stop looking at the things around us and all the things that in our minds keep us from doing what God wants for us to do, and just go forward and do it anyway. He soon sank when he was distracted and turned from the one who made it all possible. But I believe even in this, Peter, and yeah, the Lord gave him a mild rebuke. He said, "Oh, a little faith." But he didn't say, "Oh, of no faith." And I think this helped Peter. I think Peter learned a valuable lesson. Because even though he failed in taking his eyes off Jesus Christ and it began to sink, what did he do? "Help, Lord!" And immediately, the Lord reached out and pulled him back up again. He got his eyes fixed back where they needed to be. And God delivered him. God is faithful to his promises, folks. This isn't just a bunch of words on a page put together by some men. This is the words of God directed to men to be put upon a page. There's too many people today that are questioning and criticizing and finding fault with this book instead of just believing it. The old evangelist Lester Roloff, a hero of the faith, used to say, "We don't need to rewrite the Bible. We need to reread it. We need to reread it. Get into this book. These are God's words." There's too many preachers today that are questioning what's in this book. They don't believe they've got God's word. This is it, folks, in my hands. Believe it. Trust the promises of God's word. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake you." I believe that. Just as much as I believed that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Continue in his word. "Then shall ye be my disciples indeed," he said, "and you won't sink." The Lord was there immediately to spare him. The question this morning is, where are you? Are you still on shore? You've not even gotten into the gospel ship? You're still lost? You're still without Jesus Christ? That can be changed right now, right today. This preacher can't do it. This church can't do it. Jesus Christ has already done all that needs to be done for you to become a child of God, to have your sins forgiven, to know that you'll spend eternity with the Lord. But you got to ask. You got to receive from him the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Get in the boat. But then, you even need to get out of the boat. Too many Christians are just comfortable sitting there, along for the ride. There's things that need to be done. I mean, there's simple things: cleaning the church, vacation Bible school, child evangelism fellowship, teaching a Sunday school class, teaching children's church. Get out of the boat. Start walking on the water. Trust God by faith. You know, you stay in there and you get exhausted because your self-effort, you're frustrated and you're fearful because you're trying. Stop trying and trust God by faith. We sink because we get distracted. And we're all prone to that, folks. I'm not exempt. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12 says, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father which is in heaven. Keep your eyes fixed upon him. Because there's a prize to be won. But you won't win it unless you get out of the ship. And walk by faith and keep your eyes fixed upon him. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, I pray that this feeble attempt of mine this morning could be used of you to touch the hearts of your people, to stir them to get out of the ship. Lord, there's many of us that are getting older, and the time of our departure is drawing nigh. God, I pray that others would be willing to step forward to fill in the gaps, to help in the labor, to give their lives in service to you, to your honor and glory. Father, if there's someone here this morning who has never trusted you as their Savior, I pray for the Spirit of God to work in their hearts, to make it clear to them how much they need you, and how all that you've done to provide for that need. And all they have to do is reach out and receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. God, if there's one here this morning that's not saved, may they understand that and step out this morning and let someone take an open Bible and show them how they can know for sure their sins are forgiven and that they are on their way to be spending eternity with you. Oh God, I pray that your words this morning would profit your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.